maybe we can make that our prayer this morning. We say, Lord, we love you, Lord. You gave your son, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. That's all we want to say to you this morning, Lord. We love you because you loved us first, Jesus. That's why we stand here this morning, Lord. You lay down your life for us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Here I say for you, many bang we see. Do not be afraid. He's got a plan for your life. There's fear in your life. I just sense a tremendous fear in your life. God says, do not be afraid. Jy het 'n groot, groot plan vir jou lewe. It's got such a massive plan for your life. Just let go and God is going to recalibrate you today. Thank you, Jesus. You visited us last week in Swakop. I met you briefly there. You're from Germany. God planned your holiday here because he wanted to connect you divinely with her destiny. And he's sending you back because he planned this holiday for you. You're going to be different when you go back to Germany. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Kariotos. Thank you, Jesus. More. God is about to do something great in your life. That will change your view of how you connected with him forever. The way you related to him, the way you saw him, the way you had intimacy with him. It's going to change in a massive way that you're going to draw so much closer to him. You're going to call him Father in a different way. Because there's going to be an intimacy. God is going to remove certain blockages that kept you from worshiping like that. Father, this morning we just pray for altars. I pray, Lord, that you will just, oh Father, that you show more of your goodness to him, Lord. Lord, as you bestow your love upon him, Lord, this morning, Lord, you are about to do something great. You're setting him up this morning, Lord, for an encounter. As with Paul, Lord, on the road of Damascus, Lord, you're setting him up for a massive encounter with you, Lord. Thank you that his eyes will open to see you, Lord, like never before. Amen. You may take your seats. It's nice to be, it's lekker om hier te wees. It's good to be here. I do not have to introduce myself. I think we all heard or know one another. A few new faces, so those of you who might have not seen me before, I'm from Shafer Swakopmund, so Winnuk is my second home. Apart from Swakop, it's always nice here to visit you guys. But I want us just to get into the Word straight away. If you have your Bibles here, we can turn with me to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. And then we read from verse 8 this morning. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Probably I've heard this scripture in church many times before. We're just going to carry on from verse 8. First part you've probably heard many times, but verse 8 says this, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Thank you. Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and say to these people, keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. And understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Then I said, how long, O Lord? And he said, until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. We'll just read up to there. And I would advise that we read that probably a couple of times again when we get home, because the scripture, the more I read it, the more I see. This past week, our oldest girl went to school, so that time of the year when all the parents line up there, it's a new school in Swakopmund. I haven't finished it yet, so they were halfway still constructing that. And I had the honor and privilege to open the school meeting for the year they asked me to do that. And interesting, when you're on Facebook, you'll see this time of the year it's populated with, oh, my oldest one gone to, my last one gone to, has gone to school and all of that. And I only understand that once I'm a father. I started to understand that once I'm a father. So I made my contribution as well in posting my photo of my little one there, my oldest. Nevertheless, so I'm not very good when it gets to bringing a message across to children. Luckily, I had a wife there that can help me. I said, you know what? I don't know what to say to the children. I hope the message wouldn't fly, you know, way over them. You'll have to help me. And God gave my wife a message, so this time I thought, you know, I'll just pay attention and listen. And nevertheless, the message was kind of similar to what I just shared with Simone, but just do not be afraid. And anyway, so I thought, okay, maybe, but they're not afraid. God, it doesn't make sense, but they are looking forward. I'm looking at my Alexandra, and I think, well, she's not afraid of the school. She's just looking forward to going to, we used to say, Groot School, going to grade one. And it didn't make sense to me. And nevertheless, so I thought, well, I'll deliver the message. Maybe there's one or two in the group that wants to stay at home. They're afraid of going to school, etc. I walked into the place. Like I said, this place is still busy being constructed there in Swakopmund, half of it. But they're doing it in phases. So now they starting with grade one, two, three, I think, and also the preschool children started it. And when we stopped there, I was amazed how many children there are, how many parents for Swakopmund. But nevertheless, I walked into the building, and the Lord said to me, okay, the message is not for the children, it's for the adults. I said, okay. Oh Lord, okay, I'll just do that then. And nevertheless, I got to stand there, and I said to people, listen, allow me just to talk to children for a moment. But once I've done there, I'd like to share this same message with you. But I think it's more for us as parents here this morning. God says, do not be afraid. And we were standing there in a half-builded place. Well, not half-builded fully, but with many so-called hazards on the outside. I didn't see any hazards in the inside. I believe it was safe enough. But nevertheless, I delivered the message, and I believe God wanted to say that to so many children or parents standing there. Do not be afraid of your child when you leave him here today. Do not worry that he will fall in a drain or somebody will or something. Just that message of encouragement. Because I knew at that moment when I was standing there, there were so many parents there that were not religious, were not involved in church, or maybe they were religious. Let's put it that way. They were probably religious, but they didn't have a relationship with God. And to my surprise, after that, you know, I thought, God, maybe we had a God moment here. That people will just, they didn't come to hear such a message. That they maybe would walk away there. They came there to fight with the principal and the school board. Why this and this and this is not in place. And why did you open the school and all of that. But to my disappointment, I found out afterwards that they had such a massive fight with the school and the board. And they had the number of times there and all of that. And then I came to the conclusion again about the scripture. And I was saying this to my wife the other night. I said, you know, it starts to dawn on me now that some of us, we just can't sense God's voice in the midst of that. For many of them, I was just Yaku, the pastor or the dumni, like they introduced me for that moment. I couldn't care less. The point or the fact of the matter is that many of us had a God moment there and we missed it. Or many of those people standing there, and I believed it in my heart, God says, do not be afraid. For some of us, it was just, he's just trying to talk to the children. Then I could understand when the Lord says, well, Hearing, but they do not hear. Seeing, but they do not see. And I can tell you, I believe I've had similar situations in my own life when God sometimes, when we encounter God, but I'm not present there. Where God would turn up, and I'm just so out there, that God sometimes shouts, and I do not even hear him. The other day was the 31st of December last year. A friend of mine, his mom fell, they broke a hip, and nevertheless, she's in hospital there. Came from Windhoek, put in hospital there. And so I thought, I'll visit her out of duty. I mean, that's what they sometimes expect of us. You don't go and pray for the person. Well, they expect it from all of us. But even more, if you're a pastor, you've got certain people, they got the box. Okay, you got to do this, you got to live like this, you got to do this and all of that. So I thought, well, let me perform my duty. I know her, she's visited us. And there was one of those weeks I was still contemplating what I should share on Sunday. I walked into that hospital, sat next to the bed, looked into the eyes, prayed, had a chat. I walked out of that place, had an encounter with God. As I walked out of that hospital, God touched me, and I knew what I had to share. And I'm sharing with you, same I shared with Swakopmund, because I believe God is saying that to all of us as a region here this morning. As I walked into that hospital, I didn't expect God to turn up there. And I think that's what's so amazing about God, that sometimes he will surprise us and we'll encounter him at places where we never thought we will encounter him. Honestly, I said to you, I went there, I thought, I really want to get there, pray for her, encourage her, and that's it. I didn't expect that God would say, we've got a meeting here, we've got to talk to you. And as I was walking out of that place, God started ministering to me, and I want to share with you this morning about the place of calibration, because that was a moment of calibration for me, a moment of calibration in my spirit when I walked into that hospital, and I walked out of there, and I could see God, sure, maybe I have to be recalibrated. This holiday, we had a horrific accident in the Yentis Bay. Some of you probably know the guys, and two or three of them, one of the guys and two of the girls, I think they've been from Windhoek. Two cars when the Yentis Bay Road, close to Jakkalspits, head on head. One family, three died. I think only a 16-year-old girl from Germany survived. The other car, from the four people, only one survived. The rest burned to death. It was just such a terrible, terrible accident. On the same day, a 6-year-old boy ran after his dog, also in Yentis Bay. He ran across the street and a car came and he hit him, dragged him and he died on that scene. You know, in moments like that, and you sit down and my wife, we had a conversation about this. I said, you know what, I don't know how people cope with this. I'm thinking of the feelings these people must, the emotions they must go through, and for a moment God is busy touching my spirit there. And I know many such terrible things. I'm not just saying when terrible things happen, God calibrates us, but there was a moment for me as well. But I wonder sometimes how many of us miss the God opportunities because we miss that moment of calibration. We never want to visit that place of calibration. I want to say to you, often that place of calibration is visited when we are just available. We do not know when God is, when we are set up for another encounter. But the fact, and I said it the other day with our guys as well, you know, the fact that many of us have this board on our neck, do not disturb, almost like when you go to a hotel room, please do not disturb. Do not ask me anything. Do not ask me to do anything. I'm busy. And I know, you know, that's the reason why many of us miss God. Do not disturb. God will probably honor that as well. Because you're not available. I'm not available. But the fact when I'm available, like in this case, and I hate to use myself as example just because I'm not Jesus and I'm just honest with you. I thought, you know, that's the right thing to do, to visit that Tani in the hospital for that moment. And the 31st of December, you can think of so many more things you can do on the last year, day of the year, rather than being in a hospital. Nevertheless, the fact that it was available, God set me up and I didn't know it. And I had a moment, a God moment for that. I just wonder sometimes how many of us miss that moment because we're afraid to see the numbness of our hearts, to see when God exposes that to us. And it's scary. It's scary when we have such an encounter, when life and death almost collides, when we're in that moment and you see your response, you see your heart for a moment. You thought, God, I sorted these things out. And now for a moment, I see there's something that's surfacing here that you want to recalibrate here. I sometimes wonder how many of us still drive through our streets, still seeing souls, or it's just another neighborhood. And maybe for the beginning of this year, before we depart, before we do anything, before we go anywhere, before we make any plans, any goals, before we set our mind on certain things, it's time that God recalibrate us. Because we might go in a direction that's not necessarily pleasing unto Him. And maybe I want to give you homework right from the start. Because I do not know where that place of calibration will be for you. Maybe it's time that you take a ride through your neighborhood again. Say, God, I've missed this for a long time. I ask you to open my eyes again. Maybe, God, I need to sign up for a mission this year because I've been living in this cocoon for the last few years, and I didn't get out of this cocoon just to see what is out there. And we all have, I want to say, poorer neighborhoods. Maybe for some of us, no, not for Jock and Adriana that's in the hospitals often. For some of us that never go there, it's maybe a good thing just to go down there again and walk through the rooms and just allow the Spirit of the Lord to touch you there. Something that you do not necessarily do. I don't know. It might be different for all of us. But you see, we are our own enemies. We're afraid of going there. We're afraid of visiting those places. We're afraid of what we will encounter there. When we meet the need. And how am I going to respond to that? Am I going to walk away? Am I going to be like, I often see myself as that priest. Probably have turned a blind eye and just walked away and tried to work this thing in my mind. Said, that's right. This guy has been there. He doesn't want to work. And I'm not saying we should go to the streets, but for some of us, it might be there to find that place again. A place where you encounter God what you didn't, or expect to see Him where you didn't expect to see Him. You see, there's a prayer or there's a poem that goes like this that says, set us a fire, Lord. Stir us. We pray, while the world perishes, we go our way, purposeless, passionless, day after day. Set us a fire, Lord. Stir us. We pray. It's at the place of calibration. First of all, this morning, it's just 3 points. I kept it very short so that we can remember this. Often, I try to get my slides. Can we get it up there? Sweet and short, like that movie from Leon Schuster, Sweet and Short. At the place of calibration, we rediscover thankfulness. Now, if you've been with us, you will know that we're in a season of thanksgiving and worship. But it's at the place of calibration. Can't say it too quickly. Maybe my tongue will. At the place of calibration where we rediscover thankfulness. As I sat next to that bed and I looked at that woman and I realized, God, I thank you that I'm healthy. I thank you, Lord, that I can breathe. I thank you, Lord, that I could walk in here and I walk out of here and there's nothing wrong. There's a reason why you're sitting here this morning, 2015, what is it, the 19th of January, you're still breathing. You ever thought about that? You didn't just wake up here by chance this morning. There's a reason why God allowed your heart to beat another time, because you're one heartbeat away from dying. You thought you're still alive because you have to go to heaven, then you should have been dead. Anyway, a long time ago. Because if that's the reason why we get saved, so that we can go to heaven, why don't we all die just now and be with God? And there's a reason why you're still in this church this morning. Why God brought you here and He didn't send you somewhere else. There's a reason. Sometimes we just have to ask ourselves. Sometimes we have to come back to that place of calibration and say, God, recalibrate me because my mind has been thinking all these kind of thoughts and I've been busy making plans, Lord, and I'm out there, but Lord, bring me back to that place of calibration where my heart is calibrated with yours. What is in your heart? Calibrate it. And you know when you have children, when I found it out with mine. I don't know, maybe you have these perfect children. But thankfulness doesn't come naturally. They are not born with that. I promise you, you have some one day, maybe you'll experience that as well. Maybe you don't, but I experienced the opposite. I see that when we go to people, I have to tell them, you have to say thank you when they give you food, or thank you when they're kind to you, or greet them when you get there, and all of that. But say thank you, and then they will remember that probably once, twice, and then you think, wow, man, they got it. And then next time you don't tell them, you get there and they forget. They think, ah, come on, I've been telling you all the time, come on, just be thankful. I believe, and you know, as in the natural, so in the spiritual, what we see here is that it works exactly the same with us as children of the living God. God sometimes have to teach us, he has to teach us, JP, you need to be thankful. I'm just using you as example. Yaku, you need to be more thankful. God, what do you mean to be more? Just have a look at your own life for a moment. Just stand still for a moment and say, thank you, because you're breathing this morning. And we can compare. That's why the Bible says, do not even start to compare. Because either you will become prideful, full of pride, or you'll be so discouraged. See, it's not wise to compare. Everyone, the Bible says, should remain in the state that he's called to. And when I was at that hospital bed, I was sitting there and I think, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to walk out of here with a different view. It's just so amazing to be alive. It's just so amazing to know, Lord, I'm entering into 2015. There's years lying ahead of me. There's so many great things. Father, thank you. There's so many chances. There's so many opportunities. You know, when we read the Bible in Exodus, I see that one of the biggest problems with the people stopping them from entering into the promised land, they were whinging and moaning and complaining every single day. I just think God had it. He said, you're unthankful. You're complaining about the garlic. Now you're complaining about that you didn't have meat, so I gave you meat. Now you're complaining about the meat, because have you ever thought about that? Now you're complaining about the manna. Yes, Lord, but we had 101 ways to prepare this manna. You thought about how they had to think a bit outside the box to prepare that manna every day. Anyway. They probably complain, God, we don't have this, and back then it was better, and back when the church looked like that, that was better, and we can sit here and have a pity party this morning, and we can cry, and we all can feel better about it, and then for a moment we'll probably feel better about it while we cry. I think that's how we as humans are wired. And when we walk out here, we face the same thing still, and God hasn't recalibrated us. But when we get to that place of thankfulness, discovering what we have, or we sometimes actually want to say, when we forget what we had, God needs to do something here. And when we get to that place, when we become unthankful, we forget about three things about our salvation. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, that you should not boast in yourself. He says there, when we become unthankful, it's because we forget about the price of our salvation, first of all. We forget, and I know we all know the talk, Jesus died for you. It's just become another lingo so often. It doesn't touch my heart anymore. What did it cost him, the Father, so that I can sit here this morning? We forget about the pain. We just watched this movie last week, The Son of God. Some of you have probably seen that. And it's sometimes good just to, I know it's just us as humans trying to portray that to the world, how or what Jesus must have went through. But when you look at that, even that movie, you think, God, you went through that just for me. And another P, if you realize this, I'm talking about the three P's. The price of your salvation, the pain of your salvation, and the last one, the purpose of your salvation. We forget why we are saved. Not to breathe. That's why I made a joke about the breathing thing. We're not just here this morning to breathe. But at the place of calibration this morning, apart from the fact that we rediscover thankfulness, we are redirected. You know, when I think everybody's familiar with the GPS, sat-nav, TomTom, whatever you have this morning. But I know they are good. They are good until you go to a place like Joburg. And when you're a Burki like me, you do not know that place. You're so afraid of that GPS might take you in the wrong place. You know where you want to go. You've got some kind of way, but you're afraid you take the wrong road. So now you have to rely on this thing. And you know this will probably take you on the shortest road, but it wouldn't necessarily take you on a nice road. And if you're even more skeptical about Joburg and the crime and all these stories you hear, you think, oh, I don't know whether I can trust this GPS because it's going to take me through the dodgy places. And maybe there will be some gunshot. You know all this. We come from Namibia, so we think. But you know, sometimes we need to trust that GPS of God, that internal GPS that might take us. And I want to say this to you, Shofar Vinuk, that might take us on an uncomfortable road. I'm going to say this again. Maybe we have to trust Him this year and say, Lord, I'm going to trust Your GPS. I know I do not by choice want to go on this road. It's going to be an uncomfortable road. Just be honest with you this morning. But God knows the destiny. Thank God He knows better than me. And I tell you what, how many times in hindsight, I've just thanked the Lord. Lord, I thank You. I didn't make that decision. Thank You, Lord, You kept me from going down that road. Because now I can see, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that I didn't act impulsively. And unfortunately, I didn't always obey the Lord. Also, I've learned the other side. I've acted impulsively and whatever. And I ended up at a place where I didn't want to be. But maybe for a moment this morning, God needs to recalibrate that sat nav of yours. That internal moral compass. See, where am I going? What am I planning for this year? Maybe, Lord, I'm trusting You this year and I'm giving You permission, Lord, just to reprogram that thing. And it might be a bit of an uncomfortable road. Jock, I'm going to Oshikati. Lord, it's not maybe my ideal place. But Lord, my eyes are open. My spirit is ready to receive. Even if it's an uncomfortable road, Lord, I know You're taking me to a place where You want me to belong. Rather than me taking steering. You know, when you use a compass and you use a magnet and you put it against or closer to that, what happens? It goes in a different direction. I just wonder, how many of us this morning, we have a compass here internally, but the magnet of the world is close enough to us, or we've gravitated over time to that place, and we think we're going in a direction, but our decisions is based not upon the kingdom of God, but I'm starting to base my decisions based upon my comfort, what is good for me, what is good for my family, great, all those things, but is it really around God's kingdom or about my comfort? I see that in our church when we do our year planning and the calendar gets, we haven't got a calendar, the save the date thing, we'll probably send that out to you guys as well soon. And I think like that sometimes, like that as well. You think, okay, that weekend we can go to Rindi, that one we can go there, and that then we have the holidays. Okay, now we've got all our planning for the year. Okay, let's see, where's the church calendar? Let's see what's left. Okay, that one I can't do. I have anyway away. Convergence, I'm not there, and I'm not saying everybody should go to Convergence. Where we fit God into our programs. So, okay, now what's left? Let's see. I can give God that. And they just have to be satisfied with that. Because at least I'm there, man. Come on. Don't moan and don't complain. I'm there 50% of the time. Don't complain about the other 50%. But that's not the point this morning. I'm not saying you feel guilty this morning if you take a weekend off or anything like that. But are we making decisions based upon our comfort? Are we making decisions based upon what we want, where I want, how my compass is, how my GPS is? Or am I saying, God, when I give You permission to press that button, whew, God, I do not know if I want to go then. Because God, you see, we have to answer yes to God before He presses the button. And I do not know sometimes if I can say yes, because I'm afraid. I'll be honest with you. As I say, Lord, wherever You want to send me, Isaiah, when the Lord says, who shall I send? We'll say, Lord, yes, send me. He didn't say where there. And it's a scary place to be, where we just say, Lord, wherever, yes, Lord. God says, okay, here you go. Shakati, shakati. I'm just joking about that. Wherever it might be. I say, God, you know. And I tell you what, I've been in London for 8 years. It's been 8 long years. And I don't think I would have chosen that. Thank God I didn't know what was waiting on that side anyway. Because now that I know that was, I probably would have not chosen that. For me, it was a desert time in my life, and God had to do so much in my life. But I thought, you know, I'll go there just for a year quickly. God wants to sort some things out. I'll come back. I've got my plans. And that 1 year turned out to be eight. Don't want to talk about the history there. But I figured it out. God, sometimes it's better that we do not know what's lying ahead. And the same principle I found in Exodus when the Bible says the Lord took them away from the Amalekites into the desert so that they did not see them. Because I think they were so faint-hearted at that moment. When they would see the enemy, they would run away. They would run probably back to Egypt. And say, we can't go through here. It's full with a lot of danger. It's Lord, we're not going to make this one. Lord, this church is not going to make this one. God said, you're going to trust me. I believe God's anointing in this, and I wanted to say it later on, but I'm going to say it right now. Hear me this morning. Let me give you an illustration first before I share what I feel God is saying to us, not you. I'm involved here. Last week, when was it? Saturday, we were driving in town, and we had a few things, errands to do. But now, I just have to explain to you. I can't say I hate it, but I struggle when children, they have these high-pitching voices and they scream. And yeah. Now I've got girls. And now we have friends as well, but when they get together, there's this, then suddenly all these voices come out. And they run around there, and I just get in my car and I just go and do something else because I just can't stand in the midst of that. They just seem to run around doing all those. Nevertheless, my girls hasn't got it, but they scream and shout out of joy and do all these things when they get together with friends. And I said to you, these friends of ours, and I'm not saying negative, I just say, all three of their children like that, with a high-pitching voice. I say, I don't know how they, I really pray, I mean, I don't know how they can this last, you know, I don't know how they cope with this, because it wouldn't work for me. And then God blessed me. Well, last one, she's got such a high-pitching voice. I thought, God's got a sense of humor. He's probably trying to figure or expose something in me. And she, when she cries and when she screams, when she's excited, and she's just got this high pitch. And it's like, the moment I hear that. So we're driving in the car, and they're all tired. They didn't sleep during the day or late afternoon, and everybody's just not in a good mood. And then she screams, and I feel like, I just want to get out of the car. I'm going to send you home. I had to go somewhere else, and I thought, I'll just drop you off at home. I'm going to go somewhere else, and I'm just going to do what I need to do, but I can't cope with this in this car. I feel I'm confined in this place, and I have to listen to all these voices, and this one is tired, and this one is fighting, and but it was a God moment. Because at that moment, I realized, I can probably send them, drop them off at home, and just say, listen, stay there. I'm going to finish and do what I need to do, but I realized, I'll be a bad dad, bad father. And I'm going to share what I want to say to many of us here. And please encourage your friends to listen to this message. I'm not saying this. I shared this message with our people, and this was the first week in January. And just to give you background, God, that was when all the holiday people that was there has gone back. And our people are still on holiday. So I had a small audience compared to what we normally have. I stood there and I said, I think the message I have this morning is probably bigger than the audience I have. And I'm not saying it boasting upon what I am sharing here this morning, just because I knew I encountered God and God is saying that to us. And I want to say to you, for those of us that's not here this morning, please listen to this. So please share with your friends and say, please listen to this so that God will calibrate us, because after I preached this message that Sunday, I said to Henry, I don't know why I preached this message, because God just stuck his finger inside of me, and this is one of those messages I regret I preached, because God just doesn't stop working in my own life. But nevertheless, this is what I want to say. I know I'm like an aeroplane that can't get into the air. Many of us will walk away from our inheritance this year. Always, let me put it this way, we have the possibility and the chance to walk away from inheritance. And there's anointing that God wants to teach you to be a father. But there's a different thing when the bank balance is high it's easy to be a father and I can give to my children. But sometimes in times of need, when I have to trust God, it's a different thing to be a father then. It's a different thing to trust Him then. It's like, I'm not going to walk away. You see, tonight when I go home or whenever, and my child says to me, Daddy, I'm hungry. Whether I have the money or not, I'll have to make a plan. Because I have to feed that child. Or I can be a bad father and I walk away and I leave that children. And we see that in the natural here often. How single parents have to struggle. But spiritually speaking, I say this to you this morning. God is, there's anointing that God want to teach us in the times of, I want to say, droogte. Sometimes in times of struggling, how to be a father. To establish that in our hearts. To establish that, to hang in there and say, God, this is not ideal. But I'm going to hang in there because you're going to teach me what it means to be a father. A spiritual father. Anybody can be a father when your bank balance is high. Anybody. You don't need a lot of that. I say to people, you do not need loyalty to go on your honeymoon. You do not need loyalty. And for those of us just been on honeymoon, you will know that. Come on. You do not need loyalty. You're not going on that honeymoon and you're thinking, oh, man, it's hard to be in this honeymoon. Oh, I can't believe I decided to go with this place. Oh, man, I just have to hold on just another week. Just 10 days. Come on, man, you're in love with that girl. All you think is about that girl all the time, 24 hours. That's great. It ought to be like that. You need loyalty when the techie eats the tear or the towel. That's it. Why does the church is split? This one is that way. Because when the popo eats the fan, it separates the fathers from the children that will forever remain children. I believe everybody sitting here this morning said, God, I want to be a father. Is there a place in your heart this morning? Now I'm going sidetracked for my message anyway. But I believe that's what God is saying to so many of us. It doesn't matter whether you're 21 this morning or 25 or 40 or 50. You can be a father to people. Because God can give you those children to bring up. Sorry, I want to get back to that place. I'm getting sidetracked. You see, God will advise us and He will not tell us what to build with. Or shall I put it this way? Sorry, rephrase. 1 Corinthians 3 says, and you can read it about the test of fire that will test our works, brick, hay, straw. It talks about the fact that our work will be tested by the fire, the house that we built. Now, one thing God doesn't do, He doesn't put the brick in your hand and say, okay, I'm going to use your hand, it's going to be like a robot, and then you're going to build the house, and then I'll get the honor. Now, God gives His word. He says, okay, these are good building materials. Do not buy from Pupkovic. Okay, nobody's here from Pupkovic. Do not buy it, build it. I'm just using an example. Don't use those bricks. They're not good enough. Build your house with this. How are you going to build this church this year? God says, you know what? Maybe we should just go back to the drawing board. Allow us to recalibrate us, Lord. Maybe somewhere along, out of a place of humility, and I'm saying that to our congregation, to everyone here this morning, God, maybe just recalibrate us for a moment, and then we'll start again and lay the foundation. Maybe we should, it feels like we're here in the middle of a tough spot, but God, and I'm going to say this, Matthew, was it 24? God says, I will build, no, it's Matthew. I will build my church. And you know the rest of that scripture says, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against that. Not people, not our opinions, not my prophecy, not what I share. God says, I will build my church. And I'll invite you. And here's the thing. God doesn't need you, He doesn't need me. We thought we're so smart. Oh God, I'm doing you a favor. Sorry to tell you that. God doesn't need you. But here's the thing, He invites me still. He says, what? You know what? You don't want to join me. Because there's a joy of being a father. There's a joy of building His church. There's a joy. And God says, I want you to share in that joy. When I invite you to be part of that. But just remember, it's not about you. It's not about me. He's getting it. So what I'm trying to say to you, irrespective of where we might find ourselves, God says, I will build my church. And then He says, do you want to be part of that? I know it feels like the building is a bit halfly constructed, but are you believing that I'm, do you believe this morning
that my word is true, that I will build my church. At the place of calibration, we are redirected. But also, my last point, at the place of calibration this morning, we receive our mandate. When we visit that place and we have that encounter with God, destinies are defined there for a moment. You see, the moment when the need of the world meets the internal deposit of God inside of me, a destiny is born. I'm going to say it again. The moment the need of the world, the brokenness of the world, meets the internal deposit of God inside of me, there's a destiny born in that moment. And it's different for all of us this morning. There's a different thing that's sticking you. God knows that. And some of us, we've never come to that place where we've discovered, what is that one thing, God, why you've placed me here? Part of that is being in this church. Part of that is being here in this family. But then it goes even, God fine-tunes that even more. And at the moment, I just wonder how many of us miss that place, the destiny place. Because we can't hang in there in the tough times. We can't in there. I mean, come on. It's not necessary. You don't need, like I said, loyalty. You do not need grace, I almost would say. You do not need a word of encouragement when everything is good. And come on, your marriage, you do not need that. It doesn't work in the natural either like that. In church, in relationships, in church. It's good when everything goes right. But when we start seeing things differently, that's a different thing. To stand there and say, wow, I still honor this person. I still love him. Maybe we see things differently, but wow, we're going to try and do this, make this thing happen. You see, they say the difference in human beings comes down to one thing, or the history shows that the difference in human beings comes down to one thing. It's the inability to honest decisions in spite of adverse conditions. And there is the history of the world is the result of three decisions. First of all, what are you going to focus on? See, wherever you focus, your energy will flow. Now I sound like a New Age guy. Energy, positive energy. Jesus Christ is the positive energy. Because where we focus, there we will gravitate towards that. Wherever you focus on, that will you will give meaning to that. Or that's the second question. What does it mean if I focus on that? I start to define that. I start to build my life around that. I start to gravitate towards that. And the last one, what am I going to do about that? Because many see, but that's why the Bible says, in James, do not be deceived. How many just see and they never do? The pew warmer, the one that says, God, I'm here, but do not disturb. That's why God intended spiritual maturity to work with word and works, not just word. Not just word this morning. To leave here and say, you know, I had a great message. I'm not saying you should, I'm not fishing for compliments. I'm just saying that we would leave here and probably think, oh, this is a great word. Next week, another one. Next week, another one. Next week, another one. And we never get to apply that. Because the difficult times are still ahead. I sat down with other person the other day and this week. And he's just sharing. And I said to him, you know what? All I can say to you, your difficult, most difficult days lie ahead. I know you don't want to hear that. I said, when we leave this conversation, when we leave this building, you got to go back and you got to face that. You need grace then. And some of us probably will have or will need grace after today. You see, it's when our moments, when our spirits get stirred. And I think about Moses. Moses had such a moment. You know what? He's standing there, he sees this Egyptian is treating my brother like this. And in that moment, there's a short. Is there any electricians here? There's a haywire. There's a. I can just think internally. Moses is just going, the rest runs in the red. This is not going to work. This is not supposed to be like this. And obviously, we know the story. Moses went the fleshly way and he intervened there. But I believe God already had something in mind there for him to connect his destiny. And I tell you, God's got something in your, build it in your character, in you as a person. That when you meet that moment, when you're at that right place, there's a shot that is going to take place. bang, and somebody the other day, I don't know if I should repeat this in church, one of our guys, I wouldn't call his name, he was just so special. He said, but he said it in English, and he translated it directly so that he wouldn't be too offending all the, or wouldn't offend all the religious ones. But he said, David and Goliath. David stands there. He sees Goliath. He hears what Goliath says, how he talks about his God. And for a moment, David thought, this thunder must get on his bolt. Okay, if you can put the dots together, you'll know what he said. He tried to. No. And he thought, I've got to do something about this. That is the feeling he had in his moment. And I know I'm not saying that you should use those words in church. He said, he actually then translated it back to Afrikaans. Because you don't talk about that or to my God, about my God like that. And sometimes in life, we face situations. We face poverty. We face brokenness. And inside of us, there must take a collision must take place. He said, this can't be. This can't happen. We can't carry on like this. Somebody's got to do something about this. And God, if they're not going to do something about this, God, here I am. Like Isaiah said. And I say to the people, you know, I'm standing in front of you this morning. I'm saying to you, and keep me accountable, that when God is going to call upon me this year, in that specific week, a lady visits me from Katima. She says to me, we got this orphanage. I know your church, you've got so many children. Can we just have old clothes? They don't have any support. I sat there and I was preparing this message, and I know God is just confronting me. And I thought for a moment, old clothes. Is that all we can give? God, surely there must be more we can give. We haven't paid a price yet when we give our old clothes. There must be more. But this is the thing. Like Isaiah, I don't want to stand there, and that's why I say, keep me accountable. When God knocks on my door, and the Lord says, who shall I send to take hold of the city? And I come up with a lot of excuses, Lord, but right now I'm just so piled up with work. Lord, you surely understand that you just blessed me with this wonderful wife. And all due respect to you guys that's just married. Luckily, God, thank God I'm married. I've got three little kids. And I see how this become an obstacle for so many of us. You know, the Bible says when they got married, the first year, they didn't do anything. Probably just stayed at home. Some of us figured that scripture somewhere out. That nonsense, I want to just call it. And then they disappear for a year. Because we're just in the sabbatical year after we got married. Say, man, what do you want to do all day? There's work to do. And then we get children. We pray, God, oh, bless us with children. And suddenly, and I know I'm not saying that, but the only reason why I'm saying this today is because I've got children the same age. And we have to adapt to that, yes. I'm not saying that it's not. And now, first of all, before we get to the children, I want to say to young people, every young person here this morning, all of us are young, every young one that's not married, run as fast, run as hard, run, do as much as you can do for God. And gain as much as you can gain and build and deposit into your life. Because I tell you what, the biggest deposits I've made in my life, and talk about Bible school and all of that, I gained when I was single. And I ran all the way and said, God, I know there's a time when things are going to change a little bit, but I'm not going to stop serving you. I'm not going to slow down completely. But now the problem is with us having children, myself included this morning, we have so many excuses. This one needs to be in bed. He needs to be in this. I can't do this. And suddenly what God blesses me becomes an obstacle in my life. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. People can't say, well, you don't know what you are talking about. Because I see it and I'm talking. Maybe not to Shofar Vinik this morning. I'm saying to this blatantly to our people. Stop that nonsense. When God says, who shall I send? I do not want to stand before God and say, God, maybe later. That children, that orphaness in Katima, I want you to build relationship. No, Lord, but true, Lord, Katima is far away. We've already got the Walvis Bay that we're busy planting. Lord, we've got the evening service. Lord, surely you understand we've got enough at the moment that we can cope with. And this is what I want to say to many of us here this morning. If God knocks on your door this morning, the fact that he knocked on your door means he knows that you're capable to do that. Not in your own strength, but by his grace. The fact that God knocks on my door and asks me, who shall I send? It's not a question of whether he wants to send me. He knows exactly that you are capable of being sent. He just wants you and me to get to that place and say, Lord, sure, God, I know it's a tough one, this one. I know we're busy here and we're big, but God, can I just ask for a bit of grace there? But I'll do it. He just wants the yes. Because I tell you what, I'm in a place where I realize if I do not have grace, I'm doomed. And God just puts gives us another opportunity. He opens another door, and you think, man, I've got like 10 other Easters in the fear. Lord, I can't take this one on right now. I'm not saying say yes always. I'm just saying when God knocks on your door, not when I knock on your door. Okay. That I would stand before God one day and say, God, I finished what you gave me. I ran all the way. And that one I struggled, but Lord, thank you for your grace. My brother just visited us. I'll finish soon. I know you all want to go home. It's hot in here. They're involved in a church somewhere else. Nevertheless, we had a conversation. Sorry. About a guy called Bill Wilson. I don't know if you've heard about him. He's got the biggest back then. When we were still in London, he had the biggest children's church ministry or children's ministry in the world at that moment. That is in America, in the Bronx. They were ministering to more than 20,000 children on a Sunday back then. They would go there with the buses. They would minister to the children. But a tough guy. You know, he's not the kind of guy that he's attending church. Well, obviously he's in church, but what I'm trying to say, he's not the typical religious type of guy. He calls a spade, and he does what he's called to do. And my brother says to me, they're in a meeting the other day with him, some of their people, and he shares this story. He says, you know, this is one of the stories I probably can't share in church because the people in church wouldn't understand this. They would probably do nothing about this. What happened is we all followed the news last year when those 200 Nigerian girls were kidnapped. And it was all in the news. So someone another way, and he's very connected to this. I mean, when you look at him, you think, and you look at these, well, like I say, do not judge a book by its cover. You probably will judge him by his cover, and you'll miss the moment. But nevertheless, he got hold of information that they knew where 20 of the girls are in Nigeria. And nobody wants to do about anything about it. Not the government. But this situation landed on his table. He knew he can do something about this. He had a choice. He had a contact with old President Bush, who still had contacts with the old Marines. And here's the thing, which is funny. She had this contact, so he thought, well, I used President Bush's connection, and he had to make a decision. He can't go according to what the typical religious guy and the church guy says. So he had to use this connection. He used the Marines, and this is the funny part. They got weapons from South Africa. Where do you think that weapons came from? Definitely not from the government. Somewhere. But anyway, this is so funny. So they got weapons. They got hold of the Marines. They went in there. They took 20 of those girls, and they came out of them. And then the news said, oh, we made a mistake. It wasn't 200 that was kidnapped. It was only 180 that was kidnapped. But he came to that place where he recognized or realized somebody's got to do something about this. And God recalibrated him again. And just said, I'm just going to go in and do this thing. Because that's the right thing to do. And sometimes in life, you just got to put your head down and say, this is the right thing to do. I just have to hang in there. I'm going to do this. And God is going to back me. Galatians 5 verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, listen to this, as we have opportunity, each and every one of us have an opportunity this morning. Do not tell me this morning you do not have an opportunity, because then I'm going to pray for you with all due respect, and I'm going to ask that God will open your eyes to show you an opportunity. And he says here, in actual fact, he says, let us good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So if you say to me, you haven't got an opportunity to do good this morning, let's start in the house this morning before we go out there and change the world. But once we finish here, we can move on. I want all of us to stand. And I want us to do something prophetically here this morning. A prophetic declaration, and maybe I should actually ask you to sit and ask people to willfully stand and not do according to what I see. Maybe you just all sit down again. And maybe everybody's going to raise up. But let's do it for the sake of the exercise. Sit down. Maybe everybody's awake. And here we are at the final place where the wheels are out. You can relax. But don't miss this moment. This is maybe the scripture you want to take with you this year. I found it the other day in Acts. And I thought, God, this is beautiful. Make me a minister of that. It says, Acts 26, verse 16. It is of Paul. And when they called Paul,
This is what they say in the scripture, Acts 26, verse 16. But rise and stand to your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will reveal to you. So thank you, Jesus. None of us can stand here this morning, or sit here this morning, and say, I haven't seen. Maybe you've seen today. And then God says, just become a minister of what you've seen. And when I say, yes, Lord, God says, okay, then I will reveal more. And I'm going to ask again. And this is my prayer this morning. If I'm serious about this year, about my commitment, and this was our prayer here or there, and now I'm going to make it a prayer here this morning as well. So God, I want to be a minister this year, the things that I've seen and the things that you will reveal to me. Would you stand with me if that is your prayer this morning? So God, I take my commitment seriously. God, I ask you to, I give you permission to knock on my door. God, I'm afraid this morning. I don't know, Lord, what my reaction might be, but Lord, calibrate me in that moment when you expose the numbness of my heart, when I probably might see something that I didn't want or didn't expect to see there. But God, make me a minister of what I've seen and what you will reveal to me. Thank you, Jesus. Can we? And I'm not to say, can we stand? But if you feel it in your heart this morning, that is your desire this morning. Say, God, I want to be a minister of the things that I've seen. Oh, come on, people. This is so beautiful. Those of us that have seen cannot claim to say that we are blind this morning. God, I do not know where to start. But Lord, I can start from where at that place where I've seen. And Lord, I'm just thinking about that woman that was, or that man that was blind, Lord, that just, Lord, his testimony was just this, I didn't see, but now I can see. And God, for many of us, that will probably just start at that place where I can just say, you know what, I haven't figured this all out, I do not understand the season, I do not understand where we are, but Lord, one thing I know is that you are here. And Father, for many of us, it might be the fact that, Lord, we do not understand it. Our theological framework is not being formed yet, Lord. And sometimes it's a good thing. But, Lord, all these things, it doesn't add up. But, Lord, one thing I know, that my life has been changed. One thing I know, Lord, that I've encountered you. And that is my testimony, Lord. I'm going to start talking about that. Lord, I'm going to start sharing about that. And, Lord, I thank you this morning that as we stand before you, Lord, that you will reveal more to us. And, Lord, as with Paul, I pray this morning, Lord, that you will continue to reveal more and more, Lord. And as we share, Lord, that scripture is just coming in my mind. Freely we've received, freely we'll give, Lord. And we will continue to be ministers of the things that we've seen and the things that we're about to see. And I pray, Lord, for revelation in this year. A revelation about you as a father. And Father, I thank you that you're about to show us, Lord, what it means to be a father, Lord. To be there in the times, Lord, when we feel like, Lord, we can just run away, Lord, from the family, Lord. From the pain, Lord, from the things that we face. But Lord, even more from the things in our own heart that is getting exposed, Lord, in that time, Lord. Where we see the numbness of our heart, Lord, we stand before you this morning repenting of that and say, Father, we want to lay that down. And we pray, Lord, will you replace our hearts, Lord, this morning. Where our eyes have been closed, Lord, where we see but we do not see and we hear but we do not hear, Lord, we pray that you will open our eyes again, Lord, our ears again. There's somebody here this morning, every eye is closed. Please do not look around. There's someone here this morning, you're struggling with guilt, tremendous guilt. You feel you're not good enough. God, I disappointed you again, and I'm falling back every time. Lord, I just can't get to that place. While nobody's looking around, can I just see where you are? I just want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It's just somebody here this morning, still nobody look around. It's just a God moment here. You had a massive disappointment with people. Massive disappointment. You're struggling to deal with the disappointment. The disappointment actually hurt you so much. You do not know how you're going to cope this year. And I don't want you to build on that. But God, you need God's grace this morning. Just so that he can help you to deal with that. And probably I can't relate to you this morning. But if you're here this morning, you know that deep inside there's such a pain. Such a disappointment. How could this? I hear it in my spirit. How could this happen? Don't you want to give me an indication? Say, that's me. You got it. Can I have some
buddy on the music on the guitar. Let's just stay in that moment for a moment. God is not finished here. Thank you, Jesus. There's someone here this morning. Oh, you know, you've got such a great purpose in this church. Thank you, Jesus. And all you need to hear this morning from God is, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Just carry on. God is just going to, is here to encourage you. He said, do not be deceived. Do not let your eyes wander off. Just carry on. If that's you, maybe, just to give me indications. And you know what? I know God has called me here for a bigger purpose. Maybe I'm not at that place 100%, but that's fine. Maybe I'm just a bit discouraged at the moment, but God is going to pick you up this morning, enable you to run like never before. Can I have all those people that I just called out just to the front quickly, and the rest of us, if you have any other prayer requests, you know what? I just need prayer this morning. Maybe I just need grace to be a witness of the things that I've seen and that I'm about to see. And I need that I just need to make that commitment or that formal commitment. Say, you know, I say yes to the Lord this morning, but I need to do that with somebody else this morning. I can't just make the decision on my own. I need to do that in front of a witness this morning. I need that person to pray with me. If that's you, just to quickly come to the front. The rest of us can just stay in prayer. Any other prayer request, you're welcome. But let's just bring those things to the Lord. And we pray for one another. We minister to one another. Thank you.